You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. It's Food Friday, and since tomorrow is Valentine's Day, we thought we'd sweeten things up a bit and talk desserts.
And we want to hear from you. Do you have a favorite Valentine's Day dessert? Are you planning a special meal for someone this weekend? Call in and share at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
So if you're even just now realizing that tomorrow is Valentine's Day, don't panic. We've got you covered. You have an opportunity here to surprise your loved one with a tasty treat.
Shannon Berry is a pastry chef and pastry manager at Batch Bakehouse in Madison. She joins us now to talk about making sweet things for your sweet thing on Valentine's Day. Shannon, thanks a lot for coming up to the studio.
Hello, thank you.
So how did you first get into making pastries?
Well, I first started when I became employed at Batch, actually. I was a line cook before that.
So what do you like about making the sweet stuff now? You brought in, I should say, a couple of beautiful, beautiful looking, I think they're cherry pies, and they look delicious. What is it that appeals to you about making stuff like this?
I think the detail work is really what brings me in.
What do you mean by the detail work?
Just like you see the lattice and the hard topping, there's a lot of, you take your time when you work with pastries.
It should be beautiful, right?
Right, exactly. It's very technical, take your time, and I think I really enjoy that.
So I'm not a detail-oriented guy. Is it still possible to make a good, presentable pastry dessert if you're not that finicky and not doing that kind of lattice work and things like that?
Oh, definitely. Because when you're working with butter and sugar, you know it's going to taste good. And people love things that taste good.
What does it take to make something that tastes good? I mean, what's the difference between a flop and something that's actually, you know, something your loved one is going to go, yay?
I think probably proportion is what it is. And that's the science behind baking, is definitely proportion. Flour versus leavening, how many eggs, and then how much sugar to kind of balance that out. But yeah, it's once you get the proportion down, it's not too bad.
Do you use recipes, or are you one of those who can just go into the kitchen and create and eyeball the flour, eyeball the sugar, and just go from there?
We do use recipes at the bakery. And once, I think I found once you have a base recipe, you can kind of work with it a little bit. You know, once you have a pie shell that you enjoy, a pie crust you enjoy, the flakiness or what have you, then you can kind of work with the filling and see maybe what kind of flavors. Like, I prefer tart flavors. I really like the cherry pie. It might be my favorite we have. And then as apples go for pies, I prefer Granny Smith because they're very, very tart.
Well, let's talk about how we do something like the pie. Are these pies or tarts?
These are pies.
Okay. So let's talk crust first of all. What is the key to making a good pie crust, maybe for the novice, the amateur?
I would say cutting the butter is what you need to probably know. Because what butter is it's butter fat, milk solids, and water. And so if you cut the butter in well, you'll get the flakiness because as it cooks, the water will steam away, and that's what kind of creates the pockets of flake.
And I have a problem sometimes. When I try to soften butter, I over-soften it or even melt it a little in the microwave. I have heard that's a mistake. That's going to ruin your pie.
Yes, yeah. I would definitely recommend colder butter. And then once you mix it, you got to be patient. Put it in the fridge for at least an hour, I'd say. If you can do overnight, that's probably better. It just works a lot better when it's cool.
So you mentioned making sure that you've got cold butter. I mean, there's a science to this, but what does the cold butter do that the melty butter doesn't?
Well, it's together. All the ingredients are combined. So then when you actually put it in the oven, you're going to actually steam out the water, where when it's already warmer, it's kind of already done that. The condensation has gone off, and you're losing a little bit of that.
Now let's get to that filling now. We've got cherries here. You like the tart fillings. What kind of fruit should we be looking for when we're shopping and just trying to put together a good tart pie?
Oh, man, I'd say for tart, cherries are the best. Like I said, I think Granny Smith apples are good. In the summertime, I think peaches are fantastic for pies.
And we do have a recipe for this mini cherry pie, the one you brought in, and I'm looking at it's tantalizing me over here.
How long are we going to keep looking at that?
Rob's wanting to start eating it. Well, the recipe for it is up on the Central Time Facebook page. This is something you can still pull off in time for Valentine's Day, right? This is not going to eat your whole night. This is something you can still do.
Yes.
How long does it take to pull off one of these mini cherry pies?
Probably maybe 2 hours, maybe.
That's
You could probably push it, yeah. But I'd say about 2 hours.
And you, I noticed, serve them in these little aluminum tins. Is that something we need?
Mini
it's
pies.
Not something I have at home, but is that what you need to use to pull these off?
I think that's probably your best choice. And I think you can find them in most grocery stores. They're pretty convenient, easy to use. Yeah.
Veronica, do you want hearts or lattice before I start biting into one of these here?
The lattice one looks really
okay.
good.
All right, I'll take hearts.
And I know you have a heart t-shirt on. No, you don't.
What? Sure. Yeah, why not?
Thank
it's
you
under
for
the
bringing
sweater.
These.
So, are you going to... All right, I'm gonna eat first. You talk, I'll eat.
Sure, I
ha ha ha
So you use Door County cherries in these pies.
Mm-hmm.
Is there something special about the Door County cherry that you like?
Well, they're Wisconsin-based, which is awesome. And then they're red tart pitted cherries, which is what we go for. So we know that they're the tart cherry rather than the sweet cherry. And they preserve them in a little bit of sugar, which is nice. So then they're kind of already sugared for us.
Anything else that goes into these? They're already, we've got some sugar in there. What else goes into this pie?
So we add a little bit of lemon zest, which I really like because, again, it adds
it
a little
it
more.
Up a little, right?
Yeah, tartness, a little freshness. And then we had a tiny bit of almond extract, which kind of rounds the flavors out. I like that, too.
Is Rob still chewing?
I'm still chewing. No, I'm good. A lot of times the fresh fruit you want isn't necessarily available. Can we do frozen in a pinch or canned mixes?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Anything we do differently if we're using non-fresh fruit? Oh, Veronica's trying the lattice one. Mm-hmm.
Usually frozen fruits juice a lot more, so you might want to add a little more cornstarch or even a little flour when you toss those, when you put them in the actual shell.
How is it? My one was really good, and I bet yours was just as good. Tell us in great detail how that was. So how about non-pie desserts? If we want to break away from pie land and try some other things, what are some good, again, easier to accomplish things that somebody might try tonight or tomorrow morning for their Valentine's Day feast?
Well, sugar cookies and cupcakes are always fun. You can always shape them like hearts or write on them, decorate them in a fun way, things like that. And then we have cheesecakes. Cheesecakes are very sexy, right? Creamy, very good. I'd love cheesecake. And then we have a chocolate cake, a flourless chocolate cake, which is a little more complicated, but it's really delicious, really rich. Good for two people, too.
So a lot of people, when they want dessert and it's Valentine's Day, they do want chocolate because there's something about chocolate that just feels a little more, I don't know, rich,
decadent,
voluptuous, all that good stuff. So what do you recommend for working with chocolate?
Well, there's a lot of ways to work with chocolate. But I'd say if you want to do like a fondue type thing, or even it's pretty easy. If you, let's say you weighed out like 3 cups of dark chocolate, which I think the quality of the chocolate can make a difference as well, and added maybe 2 cups of cream and melted that slowly together and mixed it, you'll have melted chocolate, you know, and yeah, the cream makes it even smoother, and you can dip strawberries, whatever you want, in that. So that's another simple way to enjoy chocolate.
Oh, that sounds easy.
Yeah.
Yeah. You said quality matters. Do you recommend a particular brand?
Oh, man.
I've only heard of two chocolate brands, Valrhona. And besides Hershey,
yeah,
Scharfenberger. Do I have that right? Barker or something like that.
Oh man, I don't know. I prefer dark. I guess I'd go like that. Some people really like milk. Like my mother just loves milk chocolate, and I love dark chocolate. So that depends on what you like as well, how bitter you like it. So I don't know. I know I like Ghirardelli. I know that's kind of a national brand,
right?
But I do like Ghirardelli a lot.
So make the case for making our own dessert as part of our Valentine's Day festivity as opposed to, you know, the usual box of chocolate-covered cherries or whatever.
Well, I think that a lot of people on Valentine's Day, it's a thought that counts, right? And so I think if you make someone a dessert, it comes off more like that, more heartfelt, even if it can come off as a disaster. And then you have a funny story, too, you know? And so I think that would be my case, is that it's just like... anything else that's more heartfelt instead of going out and buying, which isn't a bad thing. Maybe making your own is, you know, it takes a little more time, effort, get your hands a little dirty. I think people appreciate that.
Now, you've been at Batch a couple of years. What are the biggest sellers on Valentine's Day?
On Valentine's Day? Man, the ham and Gruyere croissants, no matter what we do, just fly
the traditional
off.
Valentine's ham croissant.
Well, that's pretty much all me, though, so.
I see. That's why. I think... our flourless chocolate cake, we sell, people order the 6-inch ones. We sell a lot of those. And then we make a lot of heart-shaped, we call them shorties. So they're shortbread cookie stacks that we put buttercream and we decorate with buttercream and chocolate curls and chocolate and whatever, and those sell. Mm. Those sell a lot, especially holidays and Valentine's Day.
We're talking to pastry chef Shannon Berry right now about dessert ideas for our Valentine's Day sweethearts, parties, solo celebrations, you name it. Some great dessert ideas for the holiday.
And we're taking your calls. What are your favorite treats to make for that someone special in your life? Maybe on Valentine's Day, or if you like to go out, what do you like to order? What says a decadent, beautiful Valentine's dessert to you? You can call in, share your thoughts at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. We're picking up our Food Friday discussion now about desserts with pastry chef Shannon Berry from Batch Bakehouse in Madison.
And we're taking your calls at 800-642-1234. What is your favorite dessert to eat? What's your favorite dessert to make? Do you have a go-to or one that's really been a winner on Valentine's Day? Maybe something that puts somebody over the edge, convince them, yeah, you're okay. Okay, I'll go out with you. Call in now at 800-642-1234. Or maybe you need some dessert baking advice. We'll take your calls for that, too. 800-642-1234. Or you can post at the Central Time Facebook page.
And you mentioned, Shannon, cookies as something that can be fun to do. I like to do that with my kids, make sugar cookies ahead of time, and then decorate them. Do you have any suggestions for making the decorating part a little more elegant and go more smoothly?
Oh, man. I don't know if I do. I think part of it's fun getting messy. I think I can give you some tips on what to use, maybe.
Sure.
We go between different frostings, buttercreams, and then easy glazes. For example, you mix powdered sugar and milk together. That's a really easy glaze. And you can kind of play with the proportions for what you want. And then you can just turn the cookie over, dip it right in, pull it off, and that will dry really nicely, really smooth.
Oh, so you actually dip the cookie in it.
Sure.
So you should put it in like a nice big shallow bowl and then dip.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, or you can use, they have like racks that you put over sheet trays, and then you could pour it over on the rack, and the cookie will stay above the rack, and all the glaze will go below, and then that'll look perfectly glazed. So
nice.
There's another one that we do.
As sugar cookies are nice and straightforward, any other great cookie ideas that we might turn to on Valentine's Day?
Oh, man. I'd probably go back to the chocolate. We have a wonderful cookie at the bakery called the Korova, and it's just chocolate on chocolate, and then we salt it with sea salt, and it's great. It's a crowd favorite for sure.
What is it about, the salt and the chocolate together, or salt and caramel? Those are big and kind of a fad, but it's a great fad because it's awesome.
Yeah. Well, salt just brings out the flavor. And so I think with creamy things, it's nice. One, I think it cuts a little bit of the fat, which is nice, so it's not too creamy. But then it just adds to the flavor, which is good.
And in terms of, other add-ons besides salt, if you want to kind of juice up your chocolate cookies, what else would you think about adding?
Oh, man. I'd probably just drizzle more chocolate on top. I really...
So add more chocolate to the chocolate.
And then they do have a lot of decorative sugars, which is we use at Batch a lot. And that it's an easy way to just make something kind of sparkle.
What's a decorative
sugar?
Which is fun.
We use like a sprinkle sugar that we... I'm not exactly sure. I know the
brand name is... Is it just the texture that's
sprinkling? It's a little bigger. So... The texture, so it's brighter, it's a little bigger than the granulated. There's really, you can't really see it. So it's basically like a larger granulate of sugar. Mm.
Let's bring our callers in. We've got Patty on the line in Wauwatosa. Patty, hi.
Hi. I've recently discovered that you can make some incredible chocolate cakes using flavored olive oil, like orange flavored or raspberry flavored. And I'm wondering if your guest has ever done anything like that.
Patty, before we let you go, Patty, what kind of things do you make with these flavored olive oils?
Well, so far, I've only made a chocolate cake, which is it's just got this wonderful orange chocolate flavor.
Mm. I think you're going to have to bring this by for us, Patty, so we can fully understand what you're working with. Patty, thanks for that. Olive oil in our desserts, is that something you've encountered?
Yes, definitely. The fat that you use really makes a difference in whatever cake you're using, and oils tend to make a cake very moist. And chocolate and orange go great together, so I could see how that would work.
Thanks for bringing that up, Patty. I've been intrigued by the olive oil cake before, but never quite had the gumption to try it. So appreciate that. We're going to go next to Vince, who's joining us in Rhinelander. Hi, Vince.
Hi.
What are you making?
Well, what I think will melt anyone's heart. You get those square pretzels and you put a Hershey Kiss or a Rolo on it, and you heat it up for a little bit, melt it on top. You can make like 30, 40 of them per batch pretty easily.
Nice save for your sister who works there.
Yeah.
Right. That's a nice simple one. A Rolo or a Hershey's Kiss over a pretzel. Do you do that in the oven or a microwave? Or
I would probably do the oven. Yeah.
Nice. That sounds good.
Super simple. And ultimately, you're bringing a little crunch, that salt, and the chocolate together again.
Right, exactly.
All right. Well, thanks, Vince. That's a great suggestion. That'd be easy enough. Even I could do it. Get my kids on board with that. I might try tomorrow. We'll go to another caller now. 800-642-1234. If you have a dessert suggestion or question, we've got Leland on the line now in La Crosse. Leland, hi.
Hi. You were talking about apple pies earlier, and I found that if you're making an apple pie with the Granny Smith, it's nice to put in some lemon and maybe a little bit of cloves too.
Lemon and clove. Okay, so I would think that the lemon, Leland, would make it tartar with already a tart apple, but that doesn't spoil it for you?
No, it doesn't seem to be overly tart, and the cloves kind of help balance it out, giving it more of like a sweeter kind of undertone.
Leland, thanks. I'm intrigued. What do you think, Shannon?
I think that sounds great. I love Granny Smith apples in apple pies again. And we do, in our apple pies in Thanksgiving, we do clove and nutmeg and things like that as well. It does actually really balance it out.
A little clove can go a long way, though, as I recall.
Yes, a little clove. A little clove can go a very long way. You definitely have to be careful with the clove.
It reminds me of a story. Somebody in my family, everybody was together, was making a pie or something like that, and shook in, reaching for the cloves, grabbed the chives.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wait. It was they don't look anything alike.
No, but I mean, just the package. I don't know. Yeah. But they're right next to each other. Yeah. It was a family legend, the chive flavored sweet pie. It was not a winner.
That's a shame. It could have been something bold and new. Oh, well.
Ahead of its time.
Are there any kind of off the wall things you add to pies, Shannon? We talked about cloves. We talked about lemon, which is pretty common. But any other things?
Man, off the wall
spices.
Things. We've discovered recently that cardamom and white chocolate go really well together.
That sounds good.
So we haven't added that to our pies yet, but a lot of our cakes we've been working with that. And espresso, those three, they have a beautiful flavor together. So that's a little off the wall. I don't think a lot of people use cardamom in their baking, and it can
that's
add a lot.
That's a great idea. Hmm.
And I've thought, coffee and chocolate in the same desserts, but coffee and white chocolate I don't think I've run into before.
Yeah, it's actually really nice.
Hmm. Back to our callers now at 800-642-1234 with Cass in Lake Geneva. Cass, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What have you got for our dessert tray here?
You know, my children love to make a coral la creme, and it's just a white chocolate with a little bit of cream cheese and heavy cream and confectioner sugar, and you plop it in a heart-shaped mold, line it with cheesecloth, let it set overnight, and to make like two different fruit sauces, like different colors, a little yin and yang, and plop it on there, and they just love it.
So wait, cream cheese and white, so does it ultimately congeal, and you can add your own more appetizing word than congeal, but it ends up being a solid thing? Nope, I think we're losing Cass there, but I think we get to the gist. So we're congealing white chocolate and cream cheese, and then
a
dessert
combining
topic.
Them, maybe?
Yeah.
I don't know about congeal.
Yeah, okay.
This
That doesn't capture the Valentine's Day spirit, huh? Two hearts that congeal as one. This is new to me. I don't think I've encountered a dessert like this, Shannon.
Me neither. I can't say that I have. It sounds very sweet.
Yeah.
It does sound
rich.
Good.
Yeah,
I'm in.
Cream cheese is always a nice addition for things, mixing in things. I mean, you can almost add anything sweet to that. And
I love cream cheese.
Cream cheese and brownies I've always liked. That's really good when you get those. We've just got a few minutes left. Do you have dessert plans for this weekend? Something you're going to try making on your own or at the bakehouse that we haven't talked about yet?
I do not. I think we have a really good Valentine's Day menu. I'm really excited about it. So tomorrow, I mean, decorating, all morning for everyone. So
nice. And anyone that's special that you'll be baking for? Do people know that you work at the bakehouse and go, "Yep, we come on over to our house on Valentine's Day"?
Oh, everybody tries that. Yeah, everyone.
Doesn't always work, huh? But your brother's bringing you the Rolo pretzel,
yes.
So you're set.
So I'm ready to go. Yeah.
Well, Shannon, thank you so much for joining us. It was fun to talk about all these delicious options for Valentine's Day.
Thank you for having me. Yeah, it's been really fun.
We've been speaking here with Shannon Berry. She is the pastry manager at Batch Bakehouse in Madison. She was with us to talk about Valentine's Day desserts. And don't forget, we've got her recipe for Door County mini cherry pies up there on the Central Time Facebook page. Shannon says they don't take a lot of time, only a couple of hours to pull these things off.
Yeah, and you can still share your dessert favorites over there while you're getting that recipe.